wanted to know more about the real situation the younger generations are in. And I wanted to understand more, maybe because I wanted to understand my generation and like feel like more I'm part of it.
Emmy was born and raised in Japan, but she used to visit her grandmother in Poland, and that's where she came across Polish hip-hop. It provided her with a window into the lives of her peers. Her interest in this type of music grew into a passion. She authored a book on hip-hop in Eastern Europe, and she's got another one coming out this year. Emmy tells her story here on Cross Continentals, a podcast about multilingual people with parents from different continents. I am your host, Momoe, and you're listening to Season 1, which focuses on what's it like to be Polish-Japanese.
Emmy, you live in Tokyo, and you spent most of your life in Japan, but you specialize in Polish hip-hop. How did your interest in this very specific music genre start?
I used to go to Poland for like summer holidays. The whole summer I spent at grandma's. And that was like summer 2000. That was when the Polish hip-hop came from underground to a little bit at the mainstream and became quite popular among young kids. And all the kids around the neighborhood started to listen to Polish hip-hop, and I knew that they used to listen to techno, and like they all suddenly started to listen to hip-hop, and like they gave me some music, cassette tapes to listen to, and I got really into it at that summer. So since then I just started listening to Polish hip-hop. And also I got my interest because through the lyrics, I got to know the voice of the generations that I previously didn't have chance to know. So that was very interesting to me.
What was it that you were hearing in those songs? What was the voice of the generation? What kind of things were they talking about that caught your interest?
It was like year 2000. So the lyrics were most of the lyrics of those raps were written in 90s when the Poland democratized, the country got a little bit into a chaotic situation, and especially young generation didn't have job, and they were really frustrated about the situation. So these frustration were shown in the lyrics, and also how they love hip hop, but the older generation don't understand that because it's something new in Poland. So these kind of true emotion were shown in the lyrics, and I didn't know which that existed in Poland. So that's the things that I got interested in.
And how much you could relate to those lyrics because you were going to Poland for holidays, so you weren't living there, and you were listening to people talking about issues with unemployment, with generational differences. How did you receive those lyrics as someone who wasn't embedded in those realities?
So it's not like that I felt the same, like as it was wrapped in the lyric. It's more like, I wanted to know more about them. I wanted to know more about the real situation the younger generations are in. And I wanted to understand more, maybe because I wanted to understand and like understand my generation and like wanted to be more, feel like more I'm part of it. Maybe that's what was it.
Aside from you, who in Japan listens to Polish hip hop?
It's a difficult question. I actually don't know. There's a small group of people who listen to like very niche type of music in Japanese, music lovers. And I can spot some people, especially like on Twitter, which is called X now, that they got my book about this hip hop, and like they were really interested in those scenes. But I think it's a very small group.
Is there any overlap with people who listen to Japanese hip hop, for example?
I think some of them, yes. Some of them, yes. But the people who listen to hip hop, like in non-English hip hop, are like a little bit of music geeks, I guess, that, you know, they want to listen to something, you know, unusual. Japanese hip hop listeners are more only into Japanese and English, basically.
It's really interesting that you got fascinated by Polish hip hop, but Japanese hip hop doesn't seem to do it for you.
Well, you know, maybe I understand too much in Japanese that when the rappers are bragging about their lives, that which doesn't sounds real to me.
And you wrote a book about Eastern European hip hop.
Oh, yes.
How did that come about?
I published the book in the December 2017, and there was a publisher who's really interested in very unique combination of music and the area. So he wanted to publish the book about hip-hop in Poland, Czech, Slovak, and Hungary. He's been publishing a lot of music books, which is like very unique combination, like death metal in Africa or like techno in Soviet Union. Recently, he published hip hop in Africa as well. I think the work I wrote when I was finishing my university, I wrote about Polish hip hop culture, and he read this on internet many, many years ago. And like coincidentally, he found me through the mutual friend. And like he wrote to me that if I'm interested in writing a book about it.
And you've got another book in works as well, correct?
Well, you know, it's not really my book, but it's like I belong to a kind of circle of, you know, study that studies hip hop culture in non-English countries like Mongolia or like Cameroon, China, Indonesia, and Poland, and many other countries. So, and we are once in 3 months, we have a meeting and we discuss and study those hip hop culture in other countries. And we are going to make it into a book after we finish all this. And we are at the last stage of this, you know, study group. So I think this book will be published somewhere this year.
Fantastic. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. We'll put links to your book maybe any information, of mm-hmm. course, about your upcoming book in the description so people can take a look at it. Speaking of studying, you went to Tokyo University to study Polish as your university degree. What is studying Polish in Japan like?
I studied at the Tokyo University of Foreign Languages, and that was the structure of the university has changed now, but at my time, people could study like 26 languages. Polish was one of them, and at that time, this was the only university that I could, you know, study Polish properly. So that's why I went there. And there's only 15 students at 1 year. So it's very small group of, you know, people. And yeah, it was interesting because I already had some, you know, basic, you know, information about Polish. I could speak with broken Polish, but most of the other students couldn't speak Polish, of course. So they had to start from ABC. And that's why, you know, first 2 years for me was like not too hard, luckily. Yeah. But it was very fun.
What kind of people were other students? What kind of people study Polish in Japan?
In Japan, I think the influence of Chopin is so huge that I think half of the students in my class were like studying Polish because of Chopin. Many people actually play the piano very well. And other students were like, they were interested in like Polish history because Poland went through a lot. So like they were like little bit of like history maniac. Those were the students that I was like studying with.
And then you went to Łódź in Poland to study. Was that an exchange program or did you just move yourself?
I just moved myself. I took a 1 year break and I chose Łódź to study and live in the dorm. So I went to a Polish languages like school where there are like many students from all over the world who study Polish to be later be able to apply for Polish university to get in. So they were a little bit younger than me, but I studied with them.
And what are your memories of Łódź like? What kind of things did you get up to there?
Well, I have really a lot of great memories in Łódź because for the first, I think the living in the dorm with many students from all over the world was so much fun. I also got some, you know, relatives in Łódź with whom I could, you know, hang out on weekends or go to movies. So they were like Polish, you know. So I had some Polish friends outside the dorm, but inside the dorm, I had like international friends with whom I had to communicate with in Polish. So that was really fun as well. And Łódź as the city is like, not many Polish people are like fan of Łódź, but I really like it. There's a main street called Piotrkowska, where there's a lot of restaurants and bars. And at summer, it's so lively and it was so fun to walk through. Yeah, I have really a lot of great memories in Łódź.
And did you know your family in Łódź before you moved there?
Well, actually, I didn't know that I had relatives in Łódź. And because I specifically chose Łódź because I wanted to live in a city where nobody knows me or I don't know anybody in that city. I wanted to experience that. But later I find out that I have some relatives and I at the beginning, I hesitated to contact them. But at the end, I called them and I found out that they were really nice people. So I started to hang out with them.
Did you hesitate to contact them because you wanted to have that independence? You didn't want you know, your family cramping your style?
Well, yeah, I think I wanted to be independent because I was like 21 years old at that time. And like, yeah, I wanted to have a kind of independent, like totally alone in the cities thing experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't regret that I contact with them.
What was it like meeting your family and getting to know them? Because they are family, but you didn't have contact with them, right? So in your 20s, when you get in touch, that must be like a unique experience.
Yeah. But somehow it's like it clicked right away because they were like two brothers, a little bit older than me. And like they were really friendly and the whole family was very friendly. So they invited me for lunch at their house and like, you know, introduced me to their friends. And like it was like it came out really natural.
You grew up in Japan with your Polish mom and Japanese dad.
Yes. How
much contact with Polish culture did you have during your childhood?
Well, because my mother didn't like have the strict rule that, you know, she had to speak in Polish or like she had to do something definitely in Polish, but it was all natural. But she basically spoke to us in mainly in Polish, but we spoke back in Japanese, you know. So like there was always like mixed languages in the house. And so about other cultural stuff. When we were small, my mom used to read us, you know, Polish books.
What kind of books did you read?
Lokomotiva. Do you know this book? It's by...
Stoi na stacji lokomotywa. Yes, yes. Ciężko, ogromna. Yes. Pod niej spływa.
Yes, yes. Julian Tfim. I love yes. it so much. I loved it so much. My grandma also used to read it to me because I was begging her to read it again and again.
Polish yeah. classic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and also... occasionally, my mom cooked a Polish food, like when we had a guest or like for Christmas or Easter. And we loved Polish food, like, you know, gołąbki or pierogi, mm-hmm. kopytki, bigos. So mm-hmm. we loved it so much. So like whenever she was cooking Polish food, we were so happy.
Where did you grow up in Japan?
City called Hadano in Kanagawa Prefecture. So it's not that big city, so, and it's about 1 hour and a half from like Tokyo. And when I was a kid, there was really nothing, like, you know, all the country yards and forests and like a lot of nature around the house. So we used to play a lot outside.
And I imagine there weren't many foreigners there either.
I think we were the only ones. I think we were the only ones. And my mom said that when she moved into that city, it was late 70s. Mm-hmm. And when the door rang and she opened the door, all the kids from the neighborhood was, you know, standing in front of the house to watch my mom, who was a foreigner. The only foreigner in the area. So that wow. was like that.
What do you think it was for her like to live there as a Polish person in Japan in a small town?
Well, I think she was so brave to come to Japan, like alone, because she also comes from a very small village. And like, to go all the way to Japan, where it's Asia, a totally different culture. So I think I can imagine how brave she was. And I think she also went through a lot, but I think she was very strong to get through this. And she also always said that she, you know, because she's a Catholic, so she also, the religion also helped her a lot.
What was your childhood in Japan like? How did Japanese people in the village react to you?
When I was small, like, as I said, there were not many foreigners in the area we lived. So at the beginning, it was very hard to make friends because they were like staring at us, you know, because we looked like, you know, we don't look like Japanese at all. So they didn't like accept us like where we are. I felt eliminated kind of. So I felt many times I felt lonely. But later, you know, gradually I made some friends. And so it's not like that I didn't have friends at all. So I had some friends to play with, but, you know, there were occasionally the situation where we were like, very feeling outsiders. So this feeling like stayed quite long.
You have two siblings, two sisters. Did that feeling of being different from everyone else around you bring you closer together?
I think so, especially with my elder sister, because I think me and my elder sister were more bullied than my younger sister. You know, younger one is like, you know, she's the third one, so it's not new already that, you know, we were mixed race. Yeah. I think people got used to. But me and my, you know, elder sister were like the first ones, so I think we were bullied more. So I think I share that a lot with my sister.
That's nice. At least that's one positive that comes out of it. You get closer to one of your siblings. You told me when we spoke earlier that then at some point you started going to a school in Tokyo that your parents sent you to a private school. How did your life change once you started going to this school?
Well, it changed completely because when with the elementary school, I only had to walk 20 minutes. But to the private school in Tokyo, I had to commute 2 hours one way. So like 4 hours commuting in one day. So it was very far. And when I come back from school, I was very tired. I went to all girls school. So there were no boys. So the life has changed completely. Yeah. And also there's one thing that changed completely as well is that from junior high school, the girls started to look at me like, oh, they want to be like a half girl, half mixed girl, which is like, it really got me confused because till then I felt I was kind of rejected by the society because I'm a mixed race. But from that moment, like they were like, it's so nice to be a mixed race. It's changed like 100% completely from the opposite to the other side. And like it got me confused and also made me very frustrated as well, because they didn't accept in the beginning. And why you guys are accepting me now? Kind of way. So I didn't like that either. The change of the attitude completely is like not really nice feeling to me at that time. So in my junior high years, I was angry a lot. I was so angry kid at that time, I think.
Because you were rejected by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the anger was coming from, correct?
And also from this, you know, change of the attitude of the people around me.
So were these the same people that were not nice to you at first that became nice to you? Or was it just a totally, because you went to a different school, so the community was totally different.
Right,
how did that switch happen?
First of all, they are not the same people. You know, the people who were not like kind of bullying was the people from the kids from the elementary school. But when I started going to junior high, they're all new people to me. And they were like all the girls from Tokyo. So it's completely different people. And they were more appreciating the mixed race, you know, brought up. So they don't know that I've been bullied in, you know, when I was a kid. So maybe they think that, you know, it's a good thing that they are complimenting that I'm mixed race and like, oh, you like look great, you know, because you're not fully Japanese, you know. But to me it wasn't nice. It's also showed that I'm not like them.
Did you do anything else outside of going to school and commuting? Because I imagine if you have commuting 4 hours a day, that's your day, right? You can only go to school and go to school and actually be at school. And that's kind of about it.
Right. But, you know, there's always like a kind of activity after school, at the school, like swimming or playing tennis or playing basketball. So when at the junior high, for the first year, I had a swimming. I belonged to a swimming club. So like 4 days a week, I was swimming. I had like a couple of hours of swimming after the school finished. So when I went home, like I was like totally dead.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so I quit the swimming after 1 year and I joined the basketball club because that time the basketball was very trendy in Japan, you know, because of the manga called Slam Dunk.
I see.
Yeah, so everybody wanted to be in the basketball club and so that's where I belonged. But it was also like 4 days a week and a lot of, you know, exercising. So after, like, when I joined the high school, which is like the same school all the time, I quit all those, you know, after school activities because it made me exhausted.
So, I'm impressed that you did them in the first place, that you managed like a year of swimming. That's
yeah, with a I had a full commute. Of energy, I think, at that time.
Where there is will, there is a way, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I believe you used to spend summer holidays going to Poland. Did I get that right?
Yes, yes. Once in a couple of years, like once in 2 years or 3 years.
What were your visits like?
The whole summer I spent at grandma's, or also like visiting other families in other cities like Warsaw, Gdańsk, and Krakow. Yeah, and like, and when I was small, my grandma was living in the village where my mom was born. But after, like, when I was like in like 13 or something, she moved to the closest city nearby from that village, and she started to live in a, you know, apartment, where in Polish called blok.
So those Soviet concrete buildings,
yes, yes,
that
yes.
are very uniform.
Yes, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. We started to visit her in that, you know, apartment, and that's where I actually met a lot of young kids around my age who also told me about Polish hip hop.
So that was the start. That was the start,
yes,
of your interest in hip-hop.
That was the start, yeah.
What kind of friends did you have in Poland? What kind of community did you have around you?
At the village, there were like other kids around my age as well. And we used to play outside, you know, because it was like hills and like forests. You could play around. It was very nice. I still remember all those, you know, smells of the ground and the grasses in summer. It's just so nice. But At the block, I mean the apartment my grandma moved in, the kids we got to know were like, my mom didn't want us to hang out with them. Maybe I would say like that. But we hung out with them anyway, though. But they were just like normal kids, you know, just, you know, maybe a little bit younger or like a little bit older. And we, because it was summer holiday, we used to go to swimming pool in the city almost every day.
So that's your swimming coming up again.
Yes, yes. We used to like swimming. But, you know, it was funny to think back because the swimming pool we used to go in that city were like, the water was brown. Like we couldn't see the bottom, but we didn't care about it.
Oh, gosh. And it was a swimming pool, not at a lake or anything, like an artificial swimming pool
swimming
with brown
pool.
Water.
Yes, and we couldn't reach the bottom, and was like, and we couldn't see the bottom. Yeah, we didn't care about the water.
The beauty of being a kid, you know,
yeah.
Young, careless.
Right.
Why did your mom not want you to hang out with those kids?
I don't know. Maybe because they used slangs.
Like slang words?
Yeah, slang words, like really bad words. Because until then, we didn't have contact with like slang, you know, bad words in mm-hmm. Poland. But from that moment, you know, we started to learn those things, you know. Because Polish people curse a lot.
<You know>? That's true.
Isn't that true? So that's
where
we started to learn those cursing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You told me that you used to have a boyfriend in days in Poland as well.
Yes, yes.
What was that like, long-distance relationship between Poland and Japan before the internet?
Yeah, I mean, because it was my first love, and like I really didn't know the other way, you know? Mm. I just liked him so much, and like I knew that he liked me too. So, but we couldn't see each other almost like sometimes whole 2 years. I was writing a letter a lot, but he didn't write back. That's how the boys are. I mean, maybe he wrote back like a couple of times, but I think I can count. But we also, that's like, I used to call him too. I don't remember how often I was calling him, but once in a while I was calling him like to talk, not too long because it cost a lot. So like 10 to 30 minutes conversation just to catch up. That's how I think I got through. But there are many moments that I wanted to break up because it was very hard for me.
Mm. And you stayed together for a long time, for a couple of years.
Yes, like with a couple of breaking up, I think we lasted like about 4 years.
That's incredible, given the distance.
Yeah.
And you still are in touch? You're still connected?
Yeah. Yes, we are still friends. I think he's a really good friend of mine. He still lives in the same house, like very close to my grandma's place. So anytime I go to Poland, I always see him.
What is it like to date someone who is in Poland, right? In pre-internet days when the differences were bigger because there was just so much less connection between the countries.
I didn't care about the differences so much at that time. I just liked him. And like my emotion was like so like straightforward. So I didn't care about a lot of the differences that we had.
Pure love. You're just in love.
You know, the first love.
I understand that feeling of just being totally head over heels with someone and not thinking about the difficulties of the situation for that reason. But on top of that, you stayed friends. And I think that shows the strength of the connection you have, or at least the work that you put into it.
What I really liked him about is that he was like, he was very true to himself, and like he didn't tell lies or brag about something. So whenever I asked something that he wasn't sure he can do it for me, he always said no. But in the end, he would do it for me. I think I could trust him, you know, no matter what. So that, I think that's why we could stay friends till now.
That sounds like a solid foundation for a friendship/relationship.
Right.
You have a very international background, Tokyo, small town in Japan, Poland as well. You speak English fluently. Does it mean that when you look for jobs in your career, do you seek international environments to work in?
I wasn't thinking about that when I graduated from the university. The all I could think at that moment was to get a job, you know, to support my life. So the first company that I got into was a Japanese company. And I worked there for like almost 8 years. Then I became a freelance, and I did a lot of, you know, translation, interpretation, or being tour guide for Polish people, I mean, Polish tourists. And I did many, many things in that my freelance time. And after that, I started to use more of English ability in my work. So now I'm working in an international organization, but that kind of happened like naturally after being freelance.
Do you prefer working for Japanese companies or for more international organizations?
I've been working in this organization for over 2 years, and it's really comfortable. And I didn't know that it can be so comfortable to be in the international situation with a lot of colleagues from like other countries or many other backgrounds. Because when I worked in a Japanese company, there were a lot of harassment going on. I think it's very typical in Japanese companies, but I think it was normal because I only knew that situation. But now that I, you know that it can be different in other places, I would totally choose the latter one.
You work on some really interesting campaigns as well, right? That are trying to make a difference to everyone, hopefully. Can you talk a little about what kind of projects you work on?
My organization is focused on environmental issues that we want to solve, like climate change and other stuff. And I'm in a project which is specialized in resolving plastic pollutions, you know, because plastic pollution is connected to climate change because it's made from fossil fuels. And also, you know, the recycling isn't working. Mm. It's only like, you know, 9% of all the plastics that I made till now. So it's clogging the waterways. It's in the ocean. It's mm-hmm. in the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. And we need to do something about it. Globally, there's at the UN, now the discussion has started to make a plastics treaty to regulate the plastic production and everything around that issues. And also domestically, we are focusing on reducing, you know, plastic, like one-way plastics, which is like used once and throw away right away after it was used. Yeah, that's something that I'm working on at my job now.
I think recycling is a really, really good point to focus on because I feel like people a lot of times think that they can recycle something, so it's fine. Whereas you don't realize that recycling is really bogus. It yes. most of the time doesn't happen. Yes. And even if you want to recycle something, it takes a ton of energy and it's yes. actually a really inefficient way mm-hmm. to reuse something. So exactly. really the best way is to not buy the plastic, not use the
yeah,
plastic.
Exactly. You know, mm-hmm. it can be the excuse to make more plastics.
Exactly. And I think that's how a lot of corporations are using it, putting mm-hmm. recyclable on their yeah. product. And then it makes right. people feel better. But it all ends up in our right. oceans, in our landfills, mm-hmm. in our soil. It's really terrible.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're trying to solve that.
Thank you. I'm just a tiny, tiny part of the, you know, the movement. But I hope we can move the things better.
You told me your organization had to adjust its tactics for Japan, it's an international organization. It has actions in different countries, but in Japan, it has to adjust to Japanese culture. Can you give examples of that?
Because like some like organizations are like overseas in Europe or in the States, they are like, sometimes they do very aggressive actions. Recently, there was an action putting paint on the painting, Goho painting.
Destroying it effectively.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, mostly like, you know, almost destroying or disturbing people in the way. And in Japan, what people hate most is to disturb other people. That's very big no-no in Japan. So we cannot do the same thing. That's why we want to try to find a way to not to offend people, not to disturb people, but to have some sort of understanding of this, you know, the importance of, you know, changing some things that they are in their lives. So it's very difficult. You have to be very creative. For example, like there was an action, like the dancer, you put on a costume made of, you know, used plastic garbage, and she danced on the beach. She presented sea creatures like, you know, whales or dolphins that are all turtles that, you know, stuck in the plastic wastes. And, you know, through this dance and art, she wanted to speak to the people's feeling that, you know, this is a problem. That's how maybe in Japan we try to, you know, not offend people, but to touch their heart, something like this. Maybe I can give you an example.
So it's more delicate approach. It's not as in your face. It's more appealing to people's softer side, delicately explaining, trying to bring attention.
Yes. You know, we cannot do the same thing that, you know, in other countries people do.
Do you feel like Japan is your forever home? You've lived most of your life in Japan. Do you have a hankering for moving somewhere else, or do you think you're well planted?
All the time, one of my dreams is to live abroad, maybe live in Poland. someday, but maybe it won't happen anytime soon because my parents are not young anymore, and my sisters are abroad. So I think summer has to be closer to them.
To your parents?
Yeah, to my parents. Yeah,
but your sisters left, so you're the only one left in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got married and, you know, they had their own reasons to move out. So, you know, maybe I should have done it, you know, when I was younger.
Does that kind of mixed background, does it make you think differently about abstract terms such as nationality or country? When you, for example, come across, you know, Polish or Japanese patriotism, how does it make you feel?
They are just too extreme, I think. And I actually don't really like them. The way they love their country, because sometimes they can be very aggressive to other people, you know, because they love their country so much that they start rejecting others. And that's what I don't like about them. I love my countries in my own way, but I don't want to reject other people's that, like I felt when I was a kid.
I think those experiences from childhood when you're excluded really teach you a lot about treating other people.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Emmy, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much also. It was a very great opportunity to talk about being a mixed race.